Hello and welcome to Watch What Crappens, a podcast about all that crap on Bravo that we just love to talk about. I'm Ben Mandelker, and joining me today on a very, very important Crappens day is the one and only Ronnie Karam. Hi, Ronnie. How are you?
Hello. How you doing, Ben?
I am doing great, and I'm especially great because for two reasons. One, Next Gen season finale was so good. We're about to recap that. But number two, our tickets are finally on sale for our In the Mix tour. In the Mix. Oh, Crappens is in the mix. We are going back out on tour, and it starts sooner than you would think. It starts actually in October, which is basically 3 weeks away. Here is the schedule. All ticket links are on our website, watchorcrappens.com. The only ticket link that is not there is going to be Charleston, because that's part of a comedy festival. And the comedy festival has to put up their links first, and then we will put up our link. But here is the full tour, and listen for your city. This is like when I was a kid listening for like the delays and snow day cancellations on the radio in the morning. But here we go. October 3rd, Kansas City. October 4th, Chicago. October 17th, Minneapolis. October 18th, Detroit. November 5th is Philadelphia. November 7th, D.C. November 12th, Dallas. November 13th, Austin. November 15th, Houston. December 8th, Nashville. December 9th, Clearwater, Florida. December 10th, Fort Lauderdale, Florida. January 9th, San Francisco. January 23rd, Salt Lake City. January 24th is Denver. January 27th is Charleston. That's that comedy festival I just mentioned. January 28th is Atlanta. February 4th, Seattle. February 5th, Vancouver. February 7th, Portland. February 20th, Toronto, February 21st, Boston, and we end the tour, grand finale style, with February 25th, the Golden Crappies, back in New York City at Town Hall, our home away from home. We will, at that point, we will have turned 15, so come out for our 15-year anniversary Golden Crappies show. You know it's going to be off the hook. Really, we want to just flag right now that the Kansas City, Chicago, Minneapolis, and Detroit shows, those are all in October. Those are very close. So make sure you come and get those tickets, because we want to see all of your smiling faces. That is the spiel, everyone. Those are our tickets. WatchWhatCrappens.com, okay?
Yeah, come see it. Also, this week in New York, I'm going to be doing Monday the 14th. I'm sorry, I'm all over the place today. Monday the 14th, I'll be doing a dinner cruise for, what are they called? I'm sorry, I'm sick today, and my brain is even worse than usual. It's City Cruises. It's going to be with Hannah Ferrier and Austin from Southern Charm. We're going to be doing a dinner cruise around the city. I'm just going to interview those guys. It's a great time. It's dinner, it's a show, it's hugs. So come see us. It's going to be this Monday, September 14th. You can get tickets over, you can get tickets and links over at Hannah and Austin's Instagram link in bios. Okay, see you there very soon, New York City, and everybody for the tour. It's fun stuff, a lot of stuff coming up here. A lot of getting out of the house and taking showers, putting on clothes.
I know. Shaving.
Super excited.
It's very difficult. Well, Next Gen New York City. This season finale. I loved the season finale. I was also very surprised. I was gagged and gooped, as they say. And it reminded me of like a John Hughes movie or something like that. What did you think about this finale?
Which John Hughes movie?
I don't know, like all of them. It sort of had that feeling of like, even though they're not in high school, it kind of felt like this group of kids. Some of them are hooking up, and one girl's balancing between like the bad boy and the nerd and the rich kid from the fried chicken dynasty. Classic John Hughes, you know? And I don't know, the way they just all sort of like clustered in together at a bar, and just I don't know, there was something like very heartwarming to me about it. To me, like, normally I think on a different show I'd be like, Ariana is so selfish. I mean, look at her, she's with Liam, and they're supposed to be exclusive, and then she's making out with Charlie, and then there's tons of, like she just, like, all she wants is male attention. But this time I'm like, oh, this is just so sweet and romantic. I was fully romantic. Like, whatever, I fully fell hook, line, and sinker for the editing. I don't care.
I enjoyed it because I'm judgmental about the stuff. You know, like when you hear somebody say, oh, we're exclusive, but that doesn't really mean anything except we're not dating other people, but we're exclusive, but we're not boyfriend, girlfriend. I mean, when you're older, you know codes for that, which basically means one of you is going to get cheated on. Like, this isn't.
Yeah.
It's kind of the below deck thing. Like, let's keep this a secret. No, if somebody ever says shit like that, it's not going to work from either side.
Yeah.
And then Charlie, you know that Charlie's just using Ariana, you know he is, for screen time. And of course, frankly, you know that Liam's just using her for screen time too. It's not like he's coming off a whole lot better in that department. And it seems like she doesn't really care about either one of them. Like, she's just using them to kind of maybe get back at Hudson or keep Hudson on his toes. Or maybe just as a good old-fashioned break because she's been with that guy since she was, you know, a child. So I don't know. I didn't really believe in a lot of the relationships going on, but, you know, you don't have to believe. It doesn't always have to be true love and marriage and all of that. So I was enjoying watching it for sure. But I'm really glad that we ended the episode with finding out that Charlie is a user piece of shit.
Yes.
And she knew, because that would have made me crazy if they ended it on this, like, lovey-dovey, oh, she's just with good old Charlie now. Let's see how it works out.
I know. I thought like that. I did enjoy that too. As much as I enjoyed their kiss, it's not even that I'm not quote unquote shipping them. Like, I don't care about Ariana and Charlie. I just felt like the scene, it seemed to mirror so much of those 80s movies that I just was happy. I was happy because it took me back to the 80s, but I don't actually inherently care about them. And I think it's a bad choice on her part. And I loved that. Like, when she found out, like, oh, he used religion to lure me in, I was like, well, that's what you get. That's what you get for A, being so naive about the religion in the first place. And also, like, it's Charlie. What did you expect would happen, you dumbass? But then in that moment when they kissed, I was happy. But I was also happy
when
that
people talk about Jesus and the whole, like, oh my God, he lured me in by saying he was with Jesus. What part of the Bible is, like, hanging with three people at the same time? I mean, the Bible, I don't know, maybe it's just different parts of the Bible that I was personally traumatized by, but I'm like, I don't think going to someone's house for coke at 2 a.m. is in the Bible.
Yeah.
Either.
Yeah, Ariana, I've got bad news for you. People will often use religion to pursue ulterior motives. So
it's crazy. Wait until you hear about politics.
Yeah.
Wait until you hear.
So anyway, let's start at the top of the episode. It's the holidays, everything's happening in the city, it's fun, and Ava is saying they're still talking about how where we left off last episode, which is that a few of them went to Charlie's place like 2 a.m. to smoke a joint, but then Liam didn't go in because he went to walk the dogs. So Ava's like, I can't claim to understand what Liam's thought process was. I mean, he must not like the girl that much if you're going to drop her off at some other guy's house.
Yeah, and you told me you loved me last week? I mean, what? You're not even going to get jealous? Ariana. And Liam's like, yeah, you know, I don't know. I don't think I made a mistake going to Charlie's. You know, I'm not going to Charlie's. I didn't want to go. I'm not going to go. I don't do shit I want to do, which is most everything.
As he lights up a candy cigarette.
I'm a tough guy.
Yeah. So then,
holding his little baby toy Oscar.
I don't have to. So something that's going around is that people discovered that his mom ran Nickelodeon for a few years, and she was an executive over there. And then she actually ran the network, which makes so much sense because he really is like a Nickelodeon star. Like he's like a kid in a leather jacket being like, I'm tough. I'm a real man. And I'm like, you are 12.
And then he keeps getting slimed. He does. It's very Nickelodeon. And, you know, she was head of Nickelodeon during some pretty problematic times. Don't know if anybody's watched the Dan Schneider documentary, but
I did not watch that, but I did work at Nickelodeon for a time.
Oh, yeah. Nickelodeon. Well, you know, all the stuff that happened at Nickelodeon, there was a lot of abuse.
Well, where I worked, I was like in the marketing area. I was an intern for the Nickelodeon brand creative group. And we had a meeting once about how Nickelodeon owns Orange, which was so fun. This guy came in, he's like, okay, everyone, one thing about Nickelodeon is we own Orange. Like, it's copyright. Like, Orange is us. I was like, okay. And then I remember there were actually
like great orange block a word.
Well, it's a different kind of orange. And then it was a great internship. It was the sort of internship where they actually wanted their interns to learn and grow and then actually become part of Nickelodeon. So I just remember they brought me into a meeting once, and they were planning out promos for the Kids' Choice Awards. And they were going to have NSYNC be at the Kids' Choice Awards. And they were like, what should we do? They're like, what about, I'll just always remember this. They go, okay, what if we have NSYNC in a sink? Like, we'll build a sink and we'll put NSYNC in the sink. And we'll be like, guys, it's NSYNC in a sink. And everyone's like, that's amazing. That's genius. And everyone loved it. They all wanted to go with it. I just will always remember that. And I actually really like the idea myself, but I've always remember NSYNC in a sink and just like all these corporate types just like losing their minds over it. What a time to be alive, can I tell you?
Did NSYNC just say no to that, or
had
that?
I don't think it ever made it past. NSYNC, I don't think it ever like, made it past no. that point.
No.
But there you go. There you go, everyone. I've just pulled back the curtain at the Nickelodeon brand creative group's process in the year 2000.
Also, how are you going to see them? I don't know. I wish I was in that meeting. So
the camera would be above the
sink. If you're going to make a giant sink for NSYNC to be in, won't you just see the top of their heads coming out? Like, how big is the sink? And then if the sink has an opening in the front, won't that let the water out if you ever need to do giant dishes? Like, let's think this through.
Well, I had a real bone to pick with NSYNC at those days, because that Nickelodeon, my office was at 16 something another, it was in Times Square. Like, it was several floors above TRL, and NSYNC came to TRL one day because Bye 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 dropped. And I had to go down into the lobby to go to the mailroom, and NSYNC walked into the lobby, and a security guard, they were like, it's NSYNC. And the security guard literally shoved me violently into an elevator. And I was like sent off to some random floor. And I was like, this is outrageous.
I was shoved by
NSYNC.
I was one of the people in the meeting for the sink idea. NSYNC in a sink.
You're about Absolute to be respect. NSYNC in the NSYNC-a-rator.
Well, I'll tell you what, I've been calling them NSYNCs.
Thank you.
Band.
Felt great to get that off my chest years later. Now I've said it. And now I've said it. I was in an elevator. That's right.
Well, Ariana is saying that going to their house late night without Liam was no big deal, guys. They just ordered a pizza, and it was like, yeah, pizza. She's like, yeah, pizza. And then Ariana makes the sign of the cross. They're like, why are you making the sign of the cross? And she's like, no reason. What did you do? What did you? Why are you questioning me? What did you do? What did I do? What did you do?
And I mean, Ariana's obviously very religious. I mean, how could you not be when Kim Zolciak is your mother? She's like a woman of God and teaching godly things to all her children.
It's time for a commercial. It's time for a Crappens commercial.
So Ava is...
Oh, yeah, they're doing great over there. Yeah, they're killing it. Go ahead.
No, I was going to say the way that she and Croy are separating is just really... beautifully godlike.
Yeah, super, super Christian. I remember when she was first rumored to have lost all of her money, and she was going to all the places, gambling all of Corey's money away at nickel machines and shit like that. And that's when everything started to crumble. It's like, Kim went through all of this money gambling and doing all this shit. And then Kim came out on Instagram trying to sell like Bible workshops, where she was like, okay, you can be a member now of my religion, you know, Christianity, it's new. We're coming out with it. We're going to do Bible studies. And you would like sign up and subscribe to have Kim lead you through religion. I died. And then I did come back to life. It was actually pretty holy, but wow. The balls Kim is on these people.
She's a vessel. She's a vessel for the Holy Spirit. We can't choose our vessels. We just have to accept them. Well, okay.
Yeah,
Ariana's doing a TikTok, And Hudson is, he texts saying that he's excited to see the dogs because he's coming to town. And he's telling, and then Hudson's texting Charlie saying he's coming to town. And he's like still mad that he got kicked out of the group chat. You know, it's tough being Hudson. First you blow up your Lambo, then you get kicked out of the group chat. Man, what's life really?
Yeah, what is it? And so the producers say to Charlie, well, you had a fling with, or you're flirting with Ariana, but you're still friends with Hudson. What's the scoop? And he's like, yeah, it's just like so weird, you know, so many weird, awkward dynamics. My life is basically like Curb Your Enthusiasm. It's like Larry David and Curb Your Enthusiasm. Your life is nothing like Larry David and Curb Your Enthusiasm.
You're
being an annoying person. Why do annoying people across the world say shit like that? They're like, wow, I'm an annoying person that no one likes. It's just like Larry David. Larry David is hilarious.
But also no one, that's not a compliment to be considered Larry David. He doesn't do anything right on that show. I feel like Charlie's life is more like Curb Your Employment, because that's something that he doesn't seem to have ever had. So then Charlie's not FaceTiming with Shy. And Charlie's like, hey, I was the rest of your night, bro. And Shy's like, I mean, it was good. I mean, I dropped Ava off and then I went home. And I'm like, I mean, it's like crazy. Like, I can see your face on this phone. Like, what? This is crazy. Have we always been able to do this? Like, I don't even know what FaceTime is. What? Oh, but I think you should ask Ava about what happened last night. I'm not going to say anything. I mean, I don't even know what happened. Like, I literally don't know. I'm crazy. Well, what? Huh?
Did you fuck Ava last night? What'd you fuck her? Did you do that? And he's like, oh, well, you need to ask Ava. Pretty crazy. I don't know.
So over at Ariana's apartment, now she's FaceTiming with Ava. And she's like, I'm calling so we can figure out this next chapter party. And Ava's like, I'm so excited. It's like, yeah, I know, me too. I could really hear it in your voice that you're as excited as I am. So they're going to throw a party. It's going to be like next chapters / sort of a New Year's party. And Ariana's like, if you would have told me 3 months ago that we would be throwing a party together, I probably would have said you're fucking crazy. But now look, we're throwing a
party. Yeah, we're throwing a party together. And they're going to invite Hudson too, because he's part of the friend group. So we go to iHeartMedia, and she is walking down the iHeart hallway, and she's doing a TikTok. She's like, I've got an exciting guest coming on my podcast today. Guess who it is? It's Amira. Welcome to Casual Chaos. You're an icon. What's it like being an icon?
Do you ever get annoyed when the mouse clicks on you? It's like, I'm not that kind of icon. It's a different thing, Gia. Oh, Casual Chaos.
Do you get sick of people praying to you? That's a religious icon.
So, basically,
Jesus, do you get sick of being my dad's confession to the police? No, that's icon. All right, Gio, are you ever going to get anything right here?
What was it like? Casual what was chaos. It like having the Odyssey shown on you? That's IMAX.
Oh my God, I'm going to call you on you. That's an iPhone. Okay, you know what? Let's just move past this. Let's just get past the intro.
They have a nice conversation. Gia's asking questions about, you know, walls that have been broken, etc. And Amira's basically saying that her parents are super supportive. And her mom has been supportive and they've just been great. And she doesn't know, if she would have been able to live the life that she leads and be so happy if it weren't for her parents, which is really nice.
I guess that was a boring interview. Hey, what made you? I love my mom. Okay, FF. FF. I need more gossip in this casual chaos.
Speaking of which, we now go to Candy Burris, and Candy is performing Anne Juliet on Broadway. And so Riley goes to see her mom, and she's like, honestly, it's a little weird having my mom live here because my mom is on stage in New York for a while, but she's always working. So it's not like we can hang out all the time. That's Riley's insight.
We don't live in the same place, so we don't really, I don't know, maybe we don't see each other as much as we did when we lived in the same house. It's pretty crazy. Candy shows her backstage and the stage. They really give her full access to the Aunt Juliet experience.
And Riley.
What's that?
I said and Riley because she's visiting. And Julia, yeah. And Riley. It's a play on words. I'm going to talk about it when I'm on Gia's podcast again. What was it like doing the play on words with Ronnie?
It was all because of my mother. I'll tell you that right now. So Candy is like, well, you know, I always tell you fear equals failure. And now I'm not afraid. And so I'm on Broadway. I've overcome the fear. And that's what actors do. Charlie's just nodding. It's like, yeah, got it. Yeah, me too. It's an equity guest. Standing room. It's standing room.
Yeah. Places. 5 minutes of places. Thank you, places. Sometimes I like to play both parts.
Let's go to Le Petit Village, where Liam's eating with his mother, Seema. This is my favorite scene, I think. Listen, I love a mother scene, especially when a mom's not just an ass-kissy mom on camera. Because yeah. A lot of the mom's like, oh my God, I'm so proud of you. Like, literally, all I do is, like, think about you and how great you are. Because I made you. And look at you. You're doing great. And her mom's not really like that. She's like, any updates from the festivals? Well, yeah, you know, the Sundance thing was a fucker. She's like, yeah, yeah, I knew. That was a really long shot. Let's be honest. He's like, well, yeah, I knew it was 50-50. She's like, ha, right. It was more like a frog's ass chance of, like, being open in the water. All right? Zero.
Like zero. Where I inverted that
zero
one?
Zero chance, Charlie. Okay?
She's like, yeah, it's more like one in a million, sweetheart. I love it. I like it. I like that she was an executive because she's now like, well, I don't have anyone to be, I don't have anyone to boss around. So I'll just boss around my son. So Liam is like, yeah, found out my movie Carrera didn't get into Sundance. Too bad. I thought it was pretty cool. That scene where I hugged a girl and she drove off at the gas station. Oh, well, maybe next year. Tell you right. I'll see you there. Golden Lion. Watch out, I'm coming for you. Venice?
Yeah.
Move over, Ellen Burstyn. I don't care about your tribute, because guess what? Carrera's coming to town.
All right, well, it's a good movie, okay? But it's not breaking any molds. It's no Blair Witch, okay? It's no iCarly in movie form. Trust me, I know art. All right.
Okay.
Have you think Hannah Montana discovered herself? No. Okay. I did.
Listen, that was have you ever thought about putting on certain geometric shorts, maybe making yourself look a little bit more yellow, maybe shooting it under the water? I don't know. These are just things that are floating around my brain to make it a little bit more provocative.
Yeah, my mom worked in the entertainment industry. She was an executive. She took control of the network, made it what it was for the first time. And you know what? My dad was on the production side of things, and they give notes. I don't always take the notes. Maybe I should take the notes. I told her about the plot of my film Carrera, and she said, make it about twins living in a high rise. Make them 12. Yeah, I don't know. Just sounded inappropriate, you know, but maybe I should have.
She was like, hey, have you considered having Hoku do the soundtrack? And I was like, what? And she goes, and what about if it's snowing and all the kids have to stay at home and Chevy Chase is there? And I said, Mom, what are you talking about? She says, I don't know, just having some out of the box thoughts about Carrera. And you know what? I listened and I did it and I still got rejected from Sundance.
I want every interior scene in this film to be orange. It's the only way it's going to work.
She said, what about if you take the entire movie of Carrera and put it in a sink? You just build a big sink and the movie takes place in a sink.
Then your main character meets a band, an old band. And they're saying, please give us another chance. We'll do the sink thing. Please, we're begging you. And then your character can say, no, we gave you your fucking chance. And you push our favorite PA into a wall. Then you turn on the water. You flush them down the sink. You turn on the garbage disposal. They're dead. All right. Then a shot of the Backstreet Boys on a back street. Okay.
I think that will be actually much easier to film. Okay, let's do Backstreet Boys. So anyway, Seema's like, okay, well, listen, honey, everything can't be easy, right? By the way, I love the way this scene was shot so beautifully. They're sitting by the windows of this restaurant. There's like a golden glow on them, and they're shooting it from the outside, so we're looking in. So it's already very artful, and it's just, I love the way they shot it. And I loved how Seema was also kind of like, okay, kid, your father and I gave you a few $1,000 to shoot your little short film. Now you got to get some real lessons, okay? You thought we were supporting you. We were actually setting you up for failure, so you finally knew what failure was, okay? We were lying when we said one out of two things gets into Sundance. That's one out of 50 million. Okay. And guess what? Everything can't be easy. You know, you're charming, you're a good human being, but everything that you are, you know, that you're really good at has been easy. You just have never really grinded at anything.
Like, no, you're right. I was lazy with acting. I mean, even Mariska told me I was lazy with acting.
She's like, and now you're almost 30. Now what are you going to do? Look at you. Jeez. Where's the freshness gone? Am I right? If the food inspector came in here right now, he would slap a bee on your head and say, not fresh.
Look, honey, we put you in a million different Nickelodeon shows and you still haven't popped. So it's time to start thinking about that. Going from a volunteer firefighter to maybe making it just like paid firefighter. So
yeah. And he's like, well, there's part of me that's like, well, what was I doing for 25 years? Know what I mean?
And she's like, yeah, from five on, that's when you started worrying about it. Because I started worrying about it when you were two. I said, this boy is lazy and doesn't really have a spark, you know, but I don't want to mess with your timeline. Okay. I believe in you. Being able to grift off of my money till you die. Okay, are we doing anything else here? Oh, I guess I'm getting the bill, huh? Okay, bring the bill to mommy. This one's not working, ever. We're celebrating him not getting into Sundance. Okay.
Well, at least you got a girl who really likes you a lot and won't be kissing anyone else. Okay, son, great talk.
This has been great. Go ahead, pull that rope, busboy. You just get slimed. All right, it was good to see you, son. Call me when you've made an effort.
Here, I got you a little orange blimp. It says Nickelodeon on it. Oh, I'm sorry. It says Failelodeon. It's for you.
So now we go to Bond Street, and Candy and Riley are getting dinner, and Candy's saying it's her first time doing a two-show day. And then they move into divorce, and she's like, I didn't even know people were going to care like this. I can't believe it was such a big deal. And then we see people on social media being like, oh my God, Todd and Candy divorcing? What am I going to do with my life? This is the most shocking thing that's ever happened to me.
I
know. Did you watch the show? Or
yeah. Well, did you see that Todd released a trailer for his documentary about what it's like to go through divorce? Did you see this trailer?
Oh, is that a documentary? I saw that he released something and it's a Todd Tucker film. He's like, guys, so difficult going through divorce, and I know it's not just me, which is why I made a Todd Tucker film about it, Divorcing with Candy.
It's like, I think it's trying to sort of like strike that tone of like Breaking Bonaducci or something like that, like one of those like real serious, like, this is what I'm going through. I'm Todd, this is what I'm going through. So he like talks with Ralph, and he talks with Dennis, and he talks with there's someone else. I forget who the other person is that he talks to, but like all the real luminaries of that hang around Atlanta, the cast. And it's like the documentary is him just like pondering things. It's like, is this what it is? Or I give so much, you know, it's obviously very flattering to him. I was blindsided. I didn't know this was going to happen, but it's also so schlocky and it's so bad. And it's so like student filmy, like it sort of reminds me of something someone would make, just throw up on YouTube. And I say this as someone who makes things and throws them up on YouTube. And it just is so mortifying. And I'm like, Todd, you were such a hack, and you were married to someone who is a legit successful creator who knows like what she's doing, and that you didn't take any lessons from her on how to like be better and to grow your craft. And you just took her money. And now you've made this stupid ass documentary to make us feel bad for you. Sir, you've lived a very privileged life for 10 years and you should enjoy what you had and now go back to running cameras.
It would be terrible if any of us thought that you were capitalizing on your marriage to Candy or just there for the money. It's crazy. I hate for people to think that about you, Todd. It's like the first second you get, you're like, oh, I'm going to make it. I'm going to try and make some money off of this. Loser.
By fellow sympathetic souls Ralph Pittman and Dennis.
That's a real in the comments roundup you've got there.
People in the comments were like, where's Peter Thomas? Why don't you round out the all-star cast? Where's Apollo?
Where's Bob?
Yeah, seriously. So Classy. Candy's like, What they think of me and what they think about this situation is not my business. We're trying to figure out the best way for us to not be together, but still come together. So she says they're still going to do things as a family for like Christmas Eve, and Todd's invited, and they're still a family and we're still connected. So that's what we can all do. But I feel like after this documentary comes out, I'm not sure that this will still be the case.
Yeah, Riley is saying she might move back to Atlanta to be closer to the family because she didn't even know this stuff was happening and she would have known if she was there. But even if you were there and knew about it, it's still going to happen, you know? So yeah. She talks about being a child of divorce and how much it sucks. And Candy asked her to try out some Korean on her, which Riley actually knows. She can do it.
Yeah.
She can speak it pretty like, well. I mean, I don't know Korean, so I don't know how good it was. But I was like, wow, another language. Me too.
I was like, oh my God, she's really fluent. She says like one sentence. We're like, wow.
Commercials. Here comes one right now.
So now we go to Ava's apartment. And Rowan and Charlie and Ava are making gingerbread houses, which is cute. It's weird also that like Charlie is there and that he's making a gingerbread house. I'm sure his like, I wish they had like cut to Charlie's dad. Like up in his penthouse somewhere, making the most beautiful, pristine, well-engineered gingerbread house that like
it's like a gingerbread high-rise,
like four floors.
Yeah.
How was your gingerbread house? Gingerbread high-rise.
An actual elevator in there. It's like, oh, look at you in your little tiny gingerbread house. Mm.
You can hardly feel my disappointment of me standing up here on the top floor, the 42nd floor. Ooh.
Oh, Charlie, did the roof cave in on your gingerbread house yet again? Oh, it's becoming a metaphor for my hopes for you. Okay.
Hey, do you remember Tiny Person in Tiny Gingerbread House when you thought that dyeing your eyebrows would change your lifestyle? Ha 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 ha! That was hilarious.
My gingerbread house works out. Do you work out? No, I don't think so.
So Charlie's house does look really good, but then it folds.
Like a house of cards. Like a house of cards.
So now they're gossiping about what happened last night. And Charlie's like, yeah, I mean, I talked to Shy last night. And he was like, yeah, I'm coming with Liam, Ariana, Ava, and me. And he's like, bro, I macked on Ava. He macked on her.
She's like, no, he didn't. It's like, no, I swear. He told me before. I was like, oh, you dog, like, get over here. Like, we'll talk. She's like, what? He said I macked on Ava? Like, what is this, the 70s? Like, who says that?
He's like, yeah, do you want me to speak on your tea or do you want to speak on your tea? So, someone speak on tea.
No.
Okay. So poor Rowan. Like, we kissed.
Yeah. I say, poor Rowan. She's just sitting there, like, getting all, like, the frosting, like, on her hands, like, making, like, a little, like, wigwam of gingerbread while they're just like talking, having a scene. I always feel like Rowan's like, I feel like I'm on this show, but no one's really interacting with me like this. I feel like I'm just observing a lot of crazy people around me.
Rowan's like, nobody's taking this icing, right? I'm just gonna throw this in my purse. It's dinner later, so
chicken salad with icing.
Yes.
Yeah. So she's like, whatever. I made out with Shy. We made out in Charlie's kitchen, and that was it. It's a big deal. I don't regret a thing. And Rowan's like, oh, that's good. Why didn't Liam go to your house? Charlie's like, ha, that's the question. I don't know. He just dropped everyone off, went home, and walked Ariana's fucking dogs. Bro, so it's different. He's different.
So then we go back to Liam and his mom, and Seema's like, so how is Ariana? Good. I really like her. Guess what? My fingers are crossed behind my back. Ha ha, stupid. And you're a completely different stage of your life. I mean, she's younger than you, you know? She's like, yeah, I know. I got a lot of wisdom in this old noggin. Which, by the way, noggin, spinoff of Nickelodeon at one point. Remember that, Ma? Never. And so Seema's like, yeah, I mean, I don't know why you're rolling your eyes, though. And he's like, yeah, just because I know she's younger than me. And I understand that. I understand being 24 in New York City. Like, you want a good party. You want to, like, do all these things. I gotta be honest. I get scared because I wear my heart on my sleeve. I trust people. Like, she's 24. How old is he? 27, 28?
He's 30.
Is he really 30?
Yeah, I think he's 30. Because that's
his age is
Charlie.
Okay, he is now 30. Yes, he is born in 1996. But still, like, if you're 29 and someone's 24, he's acting like there's like three decades between them. Like, we're a real May December romance. We're like Nicholson and Flynn Boyle.
I think it is bigger when you're that age. When I was 23, I dated a 29-year-old, and I was like, this guy is so old. It's like, yeah, I've got a real sugar daddy here. I was like, I hope he's okay. I hope his health is okay for the length of our relationship, and it doesn't start deteriorating. Well, there's something when you're that young that, a few years older does seem a lot older. So I was like, whoa, old man, you okay there? Watch your step. He's like, I can walk into the restaurant. Okay. Are you sure? Just want to make sure you're okay there.
Carefully.
I'm dating an octogenarian, you guys. He's like so old. But hopefully he can support us and our children when the time comes. So she's like, well, what are you afraid of, kid? And he's like, I'm afraid to get hurt again, Mom. I just don't like getting hurt. And if I am going to get hurt, I really want to be there to remember my feelings about it so I can use it in my next project. Know what I mean?
Yeah, man. Last time my heart was broken, it was almost like getting a lemon in the face. Man, I hope I don't get hurt like that again, especially in the next 45 minutes of airtime.
So Ava's telling Charlie, what were you doing while I was making out with Shy? And he's like, oh, I was talking to Ariana on the couch, talking to, possibly fucking, maybe she's pregnant. I don't know. Did I say that? I didn't mean to say it. I was totally kidding, but whatever. Probably fucking.
Ava's like, did you guys kiss? He's like, what? No, stop. What? Why are you on my dick about this? What? What? Can we talk about Bitcoin? What? This is crazy. No, what? So then
I tell everybody over and over that I fucked Ariana, and now they're all asking me if I fucked Ariana. It's so weird. You guys are such weird people.
Yeah. Crazy, bro. So then Liam's like, well, Ma, I know it's not my ex, but it reminded me of it, the situation, and it made me go, oh, fuck. Here we go again, right, Ma? Because the last one, she would go out like, you know, and I wouldn't hear from her. And it's just like PTSD, Mom. PTSD from dating iCarly. So the mom's like, yeah, whatever. You know, the mom's totally unimpressed by any of this. She's like, whatever. This is not a real relationship. Why are you in a twist about it? Just have fun. Go have sex. And you're like, you know, be a kid.
Yeah. So Ava is still talking to Charlie and she's like, do you like Ariana? What do you think of Ariana? He's like, I don't know. Shut up. Like, stop asking me about it. It's crazy. Also, Hudson's in town now. So that's going to be fucking fun. She's like, why are you his friend? But you're also flirting with Ariana. Oh, that is the question. So now let's go to Jersey City at Gia's apartment. Gia's talking to Joe. Who cares? Like, so what? I don't care. Fucking Joe.
Yes.
All right? I don't fucking care about nothing. What, you got a dog? What is that, a dog you got? What, are you letting your dog sleep with you? That's stupid. Dogs are dirty. They're filthy creatures. You're going to get a parasite or some shit.
Yeah, dog's life is like poison. Anyway, so what else been going on over there? Okay? She's like, well, Christian's been filming a little bit and it's been funny because he literally reminds me of you because I'm sure you weren't used to it at first. Like, what? No, what? I mean, I used to do it because of your mother, but otherwise I wouldn't do it. You know, I prefer if I'm going to say the F word, I'm going to say it in private, you know? So she's like, yeah, but there's like obviously downsides, which we know about. It's like, yeah, I mean, you pee and, you know, you pee on your pants and like, you know what? You watch and you see what you do because they'll just put that out there. You know, like if you just like go out on a phone in the middle of like some hedges and call your wife the C word, like they'll put that on TV. Isn't that crazy?
Yeah. Yeah, you happen to be driving down the street with a license that ain't yours, but you're saying it's yours, and a tree comes up and attacks your car, and the cops come, guess what? The cameras are going to get that. It's fucking ridiculous. So have fun with that, Gia, with your fucking poisonous dog. Idiot.
Being in the public eye, it definitely is a sensitive topic. And I mean, we're still trying to figure out how to, like, we're going to proceed going forward, you know? And the producer's like, cut to the spinoff, Married with 19 Children. She goes, oh my God, like that's not happening. We all know that that will happen, sadly. We're going to have this family bloodline for a long time on Bravo.
Yeah. So Rowan's apartment, we see a little puppy on the couch and Ariana and Rowan are doing confessional together.
And Rowan's like, we're fostering a new dog. My mom has always said she wanted something just like Carrie Rad. So we're getting my mom a dog. It's going to be a very famous person's dog. My mom's huge.
She's like, and she's like, I know, but like my mom, I'm like, mom, you're not Demi Moore. You just have the same hair. Okay. She's also like deathly allergic to dogs. It's like the saliva of dogs or something like that. And then like they cut to Joji does be like, watch out for the saliva of dogs. It's a very anti-dog saliva episode.
Yeah. What's up? Dogs are really getting it in this episode. So then Rowan is on FaceTime with her dad, Chris. And she's like, Dad, I got a job as a booking producer. So it's like journalism, basically. But there's like a world I could be an entertainment journalist. But, you know, this way I could be like a real news person. And they could be like, oh, breaking news. Get the PA. You know, it could happen, Dad. He's like, yeah, I'm actually working over here. Okay. Did you finish off the icing from that weird party you went to? Still on your face.
Cut to 60 Minutes, like, hello, this is Rowan, Brooke Shields' daughter, and I'm reporting to you live from the chicken plant of southern Missouri. These chickens, these rotisserie chickens, are being mass-produced, but the quality is yet to be determined. That's why I, Rowan, Brooke Shields' daughter, will be taking one home and be doing some on-the-field testing. I have a large bag, and I'm taking 3 rotisserie chickens home. I will report back to you, Leslie Stahl. Thank you.
So Georgia and Prez are taking a pedicab through the city, and she's like, yeah, I basically know Santa, because, like, I walked in the parade. I was, like, a candy cane girl, so, like, we're friends. That was great. You know who didn't ask me to wash my hands? Santa.
And Amir is doing a photo shoot for Marie Claire, or as they would say at the Detroit International Airport, oh, is Marie Claire available? Mary Clear, flight, okay, American Airlines passenger, Mary Clear. So Amira is like,
Mary Clear, the entire flight is boarded. If you don't get your little tutor over here, we're closing the doors on you. And then guess what? You're going to be Murray scared, okay? Because you're not going to have a flight out of here. You're going to come up here. You're going to say, can I get another flight? And I'm going to say, no, because I have a microphone. I've been announcing your name for over an hour. Where you been? One of the rocking chairs? Those will get you every time.
Beijing American Airlines passenger Mary Clear, your flight to Delaware is about to depart at gate 23, so please get over here so that way you do not miss your flight to Delaware. That's American Airlines passenger Mary Clear.
Mary Clear for Delaware. what am I rapping right now? I'm not rapping. It's an actual name and an actual flight. Okay.
Beijing American Airlines passenger Mary Clear, we believe that you left your pier at the ticketing gate, so would you please come over and claim your pier? That's for Mary Clear.
If you dare. Thank you very much. If you dare, Mary Clear, come to Delaware and claim your pier.
Paging American Airlines passenger Mary Claire, we just want to let you know that we found a lower fare for you for your flight to Delaware. Just don't forget to pick up your pier at the desk.
If you dare.
If you dare.
So Mira's telling us she's shooting, and she's like, it's so glamorous. Like, I'm just so excited to be here. The only problem is I'm barfing everywhere because I'm violently ill. So we see her running to the bathroom to barf. And then she keeps going back in, and she's like, but I can do this. She's like throwing her legs up in the air.
I know. She's like doing all these poses, which are very bold with a bubble gut. And then we go back to Georgia and Prez in their pedicab, and Georgia's like, this is so fucking corny what I'm about to say, but like when I would think about my dream partner, it's you. He's like, corny, honey, that was beautiful. I'd say it's going well overall with us, right?
Well, yeah. I have no major grievances. It's what every girl wants to hear. I have no major grievances. Wow, let's get married immediately. Get a bed warm, am I right? So she's like, but do you have any words of praise for me? And he says, I would say you have beauty in both physical, but also inside an emotional sense as well. She's like, oh my God, that was so good. Like over the last year, I've grown smarter, wiser, more beautiful. I even got grocery stores to carry more groceries, which is what's not really talked about enough. And the change has been good. You know, I'm starting my own product company. I don't know what it's going to be called, yuck or messy. Like, I don't think any of those are really trademarkable. So, ew. Maybe one that's just called ew.
I was thinking about like making it something that's like sort of expressing how we're like turning the tide on germs. So I was thinking maybe calling it like Tide. I don't know. So Georgia is like, by the way, ooh, my lights flickered in here. Creepy. Georgia says, it's Georgia's reaching through the internet being like, don't speak badly about my brand. She could really fuck with a hot dog right now. So then we go to Liam's apartment and Liam is picking out clothes. And there's a text from Ariana saying that she's meeting with Hudson because Hudson wants to see the dogs. So she says she might invite Hudson to the New Beginnings party, which I'm sure that's what everyone wants to hear, that Hudson's going to be somewhere. It is a New Beginnings, by the way, because Hudson has, he's changed his haircut. He cut his hair and now he's got sort of like courthouse hair. Because his hair now sort of looks like the pediment, like the little triangle on top of the front of a courthouse. It's cuter. It's an improvement.
Okay. He also looks really different. I don't know if he's like lost a lot of weight. He looks different than we've seen him looking before. So they go meet up and he's like, hey, just wanted to say, I really am sorry about being disrespectful about your space and stuff. And she's like, yeah, well, like, I forgive you for everything. Like, I know you're just trying to figure it out, but... you know, let's have a relationship talk. I miss you, but like, not like that. I miss you like my friend. And he's like, that's why I want to hold your hand right now. She's like, no, we'll not be holding hands. It's like, don't you want to right now? She's like, no, because then I'll break my routine and then we'll be wedded in chicken bliss again. I don't know that I want that. I don't know. I can't hold your hand right now.
I think this was creepy. Him being like, please hold my hand, please. Please, fine. She's finally like, okay, fine, I'll hold your hand. Don't give in, girl. Don't give in. Hey, everyone. This is the end of part one of this recap. For part two, keep an eye on your podcast feed. It is coming up in just a moment. Thanks so much for listening. Catch you on the second half.
Watch What Crappens would like to thank its premium sponsors.
Ain't no thing like Allison King.
Our way is the Amber way.
It's the Foster and the Furious. It's Amanda Foster.
It's Always Automatic with Ashley Otto.
Put your hands together for Carly Clapp.
Get on the right foot with Chrissy Offutt.
She's not just a Sheila. She's a Daniela. Etchels.
We never miss her call. It's Diane Call. Big yay. It's Emily Gauthier.
Erin McNicholas. She don't miss no trickolas.
Hava Nagila Weber.
You'll never hide from Heidi Eleanor Jones.
It's no BS. We love Hugo E.S.
Jamie, she has no last namey.
Sipped some scotch with Jessica Trotch.
She's our palliger, it's Karen Gallagher.
She's our favorite streamer, Caroline Peacock.
Kristen the Piston Anderson.
Let's give a kisserino to Lisa Lino.
Fresh as a daisy, it's Maisie McHenry.
Come again? We're obsessed with Margaret O'Halloran.
Megan Berg. You can't have a burger without the Berg.
I love a ya, Olivia Williamson.
She's the lady of the house. It's Rachel Sharouse.
She sure is swell. It's Raquel.
Yes, we canna. It's Savannah.
Cast a spell with Shannon Spellman.
Let's share with Sharon Eldridge.
Darn Skippy. It's Tippy.
And our super premium sponsors.
She's VVIP. It's Amanda V.
Somebody get us 10 cc's of Betsy MD.
We're taking the gold with Brenda Silva.
Let's get real with Caitlin O'Neill.
Put us on a stretcher. It's Charlotte Fletcher.
Don't get salty with Christine Pepper. Can't have a meal without the Emily Sides.
Who, what, why, where, and Gwen Pentland.
Nobody holds a candle to Jamie Kendall.
We got our wish. It's Jen Plish.
My favorite Murdo, Karen McMurdo.
Let's get savage with Laura Wildman.
In the study with a candlestick, it's Leslie Peacock.
We're ride or die for Lisa Ryder Barron.
She's a whiz, it's Liz Sarthy.
Always killing it, it's Lola Alkalani.
Roger that, it's Marlis Rogers.
The incredible edible Matthews sisters.
She eases our woes, it's Melissa St. Rose.
She's our princess, it's Rebecca Prince.
She's the queen bee, it's Sarah Lemke.
We cannot tell a lie, it's Sarah Telefson.
Yes, we canna, it's Savannah.
Shannon, out of a cannon, Anthony.
Please don't stop, it's Soli and Pop.
Let's take off with Tamla Plain.
Strike a pose, it's Tori Rose.
She ain't no shrinking Violet Kuchar. We love you guys.